This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are
hers and hers and history's company too.
Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Leave
a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous. Three's company too.
Yeah, that's a little tribute to Suzanne Somers. Do you remember Three's Company? Suzanne Somers passed away from cancer. I think she's been battling breast cancer for quite a while, as a matter of fact. She was just about to turn 77. In fact, she died the day before her birthday. And, golly, I remember Suzanne Somers in movies. I think she was a singer, if I'm not mistaken. But she's a very multi-talented woman, and I always kind of liked her. She always seemed to be a very... I don't know. There was something about her that was kind of, you felt comfortable with her, you know?
She played the parts very well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a shame that they didn't stick together, because if they stuck together, that when they brought Don Knotts on as Mr. Frehley, it just went to another level. I mean, it was just, it hung on for a little too long.
You think he had something to do with its demise?
No. Actually, I saw a whole documentary on the whole Suzanne Somers. She went into a really bad contract situation, and the downfall was either her brother, her boyfriend, or her husband was her agent, and was asking to be the highest paid actor on the show, and then the other cast members, you know, didn't like. She was banned from the set.
Oh, really?
There was one show that got so bad that they wouldn't let her on the set. There was one show where she phoned in, where she wasn't on the show, and she was at her parents' or something like that in Sausalito, whatever it was.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I'll be back next week. They did that from a remote location because they wouldn't allow her on the set.
No kidding.
Yeah, it got really bad.
Wow.
Really bad.
Well,
shame.
We salute Suzanne Somers, who passed away after a long time battle with breast cancer. But in the meantime, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, who apparently was a big Three's Company fan. Boy, he knows a lot about that show. We thank you for joining us. It is Monday, October the 16th. And as usual, we have an awful lot going on today. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and there's a revised inflation report from the federal government. It's not a very good one. It really is not. A report, Ryan says, shows inflation is still way too high. So we're going to talk about all of that. And as the Israeli war rages on, President Biden hunkers down at the White House. Will he do anything about the 30 Americans that have been killed over there? How about the 13 that are still missing? Is there anything we're going to do about that? Do you feel a little bit helpless? We'll talk about that. And a conservative Christian university crying foul at the Department of Education, saying the department may be trying to sabotage the school. So we'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, for people with disabilities, the top 10 cities for them in the world. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, make a beeline over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. They are located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment first. They are open Tuesdays through Saturday, and their number 727-733-3773. And for those of you that need any kind of job that needs to be done regarding trees, do you need tree removal, tree enhancement, whatever, if it has to do with trees, stump grinding, anything, ArborLife Tree Service is the place to call. It's the best and premier tree service in Tampa Bay. Why don't you call them for a free estimate? 727-330-1999. So, boy, this whole situation in Israel, and it's like waiting for really a doomsday situation in the Gaza Strip. How in God's name do you get in there, kill the Hamas, and somehow spare the lives of innocent people? I don't know how they're going to do it. President Biden has postponed his, he was going to go to Colorado today, allegedly, I guess, to promote his presidential run. But he's going to hunker down in the White House and monitor events over in Gaza. He will participate in a national security meeting or a series of security meetings throughout the day. He was going to be talking about his Bidenomics agenda. Talk about a downer. I guess he's going to try and tell us at some point that Bidenomics is really working. Well, folks, it's not working. Anybody with a brain and two eyes can see that. So this is the statement from the White House. The president's trip to Colorado is postponed and it will be rescheduled. The president will remain at the White House to participate in national security meetings. So here's the latest on the war. At least 4,200 people are dead, combining both sides on that thing. At least 1,400 Israeli civilians and soldiers among those. 30 Americans are dead. The Palestinians say about 2,800 Palestinians have succumbed. They say more than almost 11,000 are wounded. And we have 13 Americans that are still unaccounted for. I hate to say it, but I think a bunch of them, if not most of them, may already have died. But it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Then you've got the whole situation with Hezbollah, which is hunkered down in Lebanon, just north of Israel, and whether or not they've started to launch a few missiles too. You know, so you got all kinds of things going on. Why is it that the Jews have always been, I don't know, a tortured race, you know? I mean, all the way back to biblical times. A lot of people complain that they created a space for Israel in 1948, the United Nations and Britain, you know, officially set aside a plot of land near Egypt and all those areas for Israel to live in, and it's just been hell for them ever since then. In the meantime, back here at home, home sales are on track for the slowest year since the housing bust. The highest mortgage rate in 23 years are dragging down the sale of homes. If you got a home you want to sell, this is not the time to do it. Sales of previously owned homes this year expected to dwindle to a rate that's not been seen for 12 years. When 12 years ago, we didn't have as many people in this country, and we were still recovering from one of the worst housing crises ever at that point. So this slowdown very different from the previous one. After the housing bubble of the early 2000s, back then the economy had entered a deep recession and millions of people had lost their homes to foreclosures. This time, home sales slowing for more than a year because of the rising borrowing costs, the record high home prices, and a very limited inventory of homes for sale. So everything's going wrong right now. That, of course, that slows down construction as well. So it's a mess. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to focus on an updated inflation report from the federal government with the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Ryan Young.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday and delighted to have back an old friend of ours, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is a senior economist and just the guy to talk about what is going on with inflation. This doggone inflation, Ryan, is driving us crazy, you know. And I think you noted in a report here, of course, the federal government has released an update on the inflation for September. And since COVID, our dollar is now worth 83 cents rather than a dollar. That's a depressing situation. It seems like everything, I just read a report about how the housing market has slowed down. It seems like everything's really on a bad dip right now.
Yeah, the economy has its problems, but it could be a lot worse. So I'm going to try to be a little optimistic today. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that'll be good. We need some optimism these days, don't we?
We sure do.
Oh, and
so our target for inflation is about 2%. We're about double that right now, 4%. But during the worst of the current inflation, we were at 9%. And the good news is that none of that 9% stuff is coming back.
Good.
I've been tough on the Federal Reserve because they played a large role in causing this inflation in the first place. Like you said, it's all an outgrowth of COVID. They grew the money supply. There was trillions of dollars of stimulus spending, and that's what caused the inflation. Barring another crisis or another multi-trillion-dollar spending binge, 9% inflation is not coming back. The trouble is that's going to stay at about 4% and not 2% like we want, basically until we get some proof that the Fed and Congress and President Biden are not going to go back into stimulus mode at the first sign of trouble. It helps that the labor market's strong, unemployment is low, but until they get a little bit of their credibility back, inflation's probably going to stay a little higher than we want.
Yeah, Ryan, I wanted to ask you about the job the Federal Reserve is doing with these interest rate hikes. I mean, we know it's affecting the housing industry. Everything is slowing down there. In fact, people are much more reluctant now to borrow money. So is the Fed doing the right thing?
They have been for about the last year and a half, in my opinion. Inflation is a tax, and the higher interest rates and the higher mortgage rates and car payments and all that we're seeing as part of that tax. With inflation, it's not like an income tax where you write a check to the IRS. It's not like a sales tax where you see it on your receipt. inflation is a tax on everything, whether it's the groceries you buy or higher gas prices at the pump, or in this case, higher interest rates, higher mortgages. So it's part of the tax that we're paying. A lot of it, in my opinion, was avoidable. So I do blame the Fed for causing the inflation, as well as Congress and President Biden's overspending. But it's just the tax that we have to pay. Housing relief can come from other areas like permitting reform, easing construction, tariffs on lumber make construction more expensive. There are lots of non-inflation related things we can do. But right now we're just paying a tax.
You know, you go back and you say, all right, things were going real good, it seemed like, before COVID. Trump was president. Things were, you know, everything seemed to be going in the right direction. We had a very low inflation rate, relatively speaking, at that point. So COVID comes along. And all of a sudden, they're throwing all kinds of money out there, right? The federal government. So is that, yeah, is that when this whole problem started? Or was it when Biden became president and really went crazy by, you know, shutting down pipelines and this, that, and the other thing? What really, do you, in your opinion, what really started this?
It was COVID. President Biden certainly has not helped with the pipeline shutdowns and a lot of the other regulatory ramp-ups we've seen in other areas like antitrust. But this is a creature of COVID. This is not like the financial crisis about 15 years ago, where you had a housing bubble and then a financial meltdown. There was no savings and loan crisis like back in the 80s. Here we had a healthy economy that was hit by a pandemic, had to shut down for a while, and then it opened back up.
Mm-hmm.
The problems we're seeing are mostly because of Washington's overreaction. If you look at the trend line,
yeah, good
GDP,
point.
Income, wages, a lot of those are already back to trend as though COVID had never happened. But we're still dealing with a lot of hangover effect because of the inflation that we've seen that was frankly avoidable. Fed's been doing the right thing to remedy it for the last year and a half, but let's not forget that they caused it in the first place.
You know, you're making a case for doing not a doggone thing. In other words, if through this whole thing, the federal government had done nothing in terms of what was going on, in terms of the spending is what I should say. And,
yeah,
and the Federal Reserve didn't do anything, nothing, you know, would we be better off right now than we are?
You can say that the Fed should have increased the money supply a little bit. When things slow down, people aren't going out, people aren't spending, the velocity of money slows. And if you want the money supply to stay stable, you pump a little bit more money in the system to accommodate that slower velocity. But they way overdid it. They printed $5 trillion in new money. They probably could have done with a quarter of that. They went in stimulus mode, basically.
We're talking with Ryan Young, who is a senior economist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Really knows his stuff. It's always great to talk with you, Ryan. You know so doggone much. You make me feel stupid sometimes, but that's okay. I learn things from you. You know, I don't know. Are we? You're trying to be positive with the way things are going. I just wonder sometimes if we didn't have the federal government putting its hand on the scales, and we had more free market and personal, I don't know, just less government, wouldn't we be better off right now financially?
Oh, far better. We wouldn't have had the inflation. Our 2% growth would likely be 3% or even faster. In the long run, I'm pretty optimistic, but in the short run, I'm with you. I'm definitely a little pessimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. What about things like, everything went bad. I look at what's going on in our country, and I, you know, forget all the wars and all that kind of thing, but just from a standpoint of our financial security or whatever it is, we're $33 trillion in debt. It seems like nobody has a way or a means to slow that down. We're throwing a trillion here and a trillion there when it used to be we were throwing a billion here and a billion there. I mean, it's just at some point, we always say that, you know, we're throwing this onto our the kids that are coming up, making it their problem. Is that really true? Is there going to, at some point, be a complete collapse? Are we going to have to do something? Are we going to go on forever doing this kind of overspending?
I don't see a collapse, but I do see pain. And one of the one of the few positives of today's higher interest rates is that it's going to make government debt repayment more expensive, which makes politicians a little more sensitive about spending and about ways to contain it. While neither party is that interested in fiscal discipline, I think we're starting to get to the point where circumstances are starting to force the issue, and only then, I think, is reform going to happen. So not a collapse, but definitely some pain.
And yet we won't go after the things that cause our debt to go higher and higher, you know, the those locked-in programs like Social Security, which is going slowly bankrupt, I guess, and of course, the costs for welfare and Medicare, you know, all the entitlement programs. If we truly want to do something about this rising debt of ours, we're going to have to cut these things open and figure something else out.
Yeah, those are the big fish. You talked about $33 trillion in debt. You look at the unfunded liabilities that just Social Security and Medicare have. Those two alone have over $100 trillion.
God.
That's four times GDP of unfunded debt.
That's more money than I've collected. Yeah, that's more money I've ever made.
And of course, that's spread out over however many years, but my goodness.
I know. I mean, it's an unfathomable amount of money. And I just don't see how we're going to be able to do it unless somebody comes along and says, look, that can talk us into it. But you see, the people in Washington don't want to lose their jobs. So nobody wants to step on the third rail, which you have to do, especially with Social Security, and say, look, we can't do this anymore. We're going to have to figure out something else, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people have IRAs. That's the model that Social Security should follow. The only problem is politics, and something similar applies for health savings accounts for Medicare. And welfare payments, straight cash is a much better model than the Medicare model.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the inflation situation, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Are we in a recession right now, Ryan, or are we going to get into a recession? Everyone says 2024 recession is coming. What do you think?
We're not in a recession now. The economy is growing at about 2%, which is right in line with its average over the past century. So that's doing okay. The labor market's still doing good, not a recession. Inflation is going to continue to be a problem, but barring another crisis or another spending binge, I think the economy will be in fine shape for at least the next year or two. We'll still have some inflation to deal with, so things will not be perfect. Higher interest rates will cause some problems, but I don't see a recession coming in the next year or two.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. How about, are we going to get our shelves? I guess they're slowly getting stocked up again. Seemed like for a long time there, you'd go to the store, especially the grocery store, and it'd be all kinds of things that were not there that you normally would want. Have we gone past that pretty much? Is our supply chain doing better?
They're running close to maximum capacity, so anytime there's some, we'll say a pandemic, for example, that just causes chaos in the system. There's a lot we can do as far as deregulation, loosening union stranglehold over the ports, tariff relief, other things. But we're past the worst of it for now.
Good. And speaking about unions and the like, we've had a couple of strikes going on. I guess with some situation with health care, and then also with the vehicles. Do you see resolutions coming on those two fronts?
Yeah, the Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers ended their strike. They're back on the job.
Okay.
I don't know the details of their contract, but at least the strike is over, so it won't affect patients any longer. The auto strike, some dealers are actually secretly happy about that to see a production slowdown because they have a little bit of a glut of inventory. They're having trouble getting rid of cars, especially electric cars. So they won't tell anyone this publicly, but they're actually a little happy to have a slowdown, get their inventories down to where they like them.
Really?
And as far as consumers, if they find a shortage of Chevys or Fords where workers are striking, they can get a Nissan or a Subaru or a Honda or lots of other choices made in right-to-work states.
There you go. All right, Mr. Sunshine. I certainly appreciate your perspective, and I'm glad that you are optimistic, Ryan. Makes me feel better. Thank you so very much, as always, and I look forward to our next chat.
Oh, likewise. Thank you, Paul.
All right, sir. All right. Ryan Young. of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Now I feel better. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, a conservative Christian university crying foul at the Department of Education, saying it may be trying to sabotage the school. We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. Well, so with this Israeli war, now we're going into week two on this whole thing. It's kind of thrown the race for the White House up for grabs a little bit. In fact, Donald Trump has stirred a little bit of a dust up with comments critical of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and his description of Hamas as, quote, smart. Don't know if that's a good thing to say at this point. His comments drew rebuke not only from Democrats, but also from some of his top rivals for the White House. Ron DeSantis said that Trump's comments just don't make any sense. Nikki Haley, who served as the ambassador to the UN under the Trump administration, says, we can't be doing this. You don't need to be talking about how good Hezbollah is, and you don't need to be talking about how bad Netanyahu is. Now, Donald Trump claimed that Netanyahu backed out at the last minute in a plan to kill Iran's top security and intelligence commander, Soleimani, back in 2020. Trump went ahead, America went ahead and, with a drone strike and knocked him off back then. But Trump said this, I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down. He said, that was a very terrible thing. He said, we were disappointed by that, very disappointed. But we did the job ourselves, and it was absolute precision, magnificent, beautiful job. And then Bibi tried to take credit for it. That didn't make me feel too good. Trump said, I just don't know why Donald Trump would start saying things like that. Hey, Angelo, we've got our eye in the northern sky with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. Just talking about Donald Trump a little bit. And sometimes, you know, maybe he shouldn't say certain things. He's kind of got, I don't know, maybe, why would he say something like that right now? Talking about Hezbollah and Netanyahu could do better and stuff like that. Is this the right time to say that?
No. I mean, that's Donald Trump. You know, this is what you get when you get Donald Trump. People know that. I mean, he says things, you know, I have friends that would back up Trump if he only kept his mouth shut.
Oh, absolutely.
But he doesn't, you know. And you know, it's kind of like I'm getting kind of tired of hearing that from him, you know. I mean, either you're going to be the president of the United States and you're going to talk like you should.
Yeah, I mean, right? Why bring that stuff up when Netanyahu is trying to keep everything together and trying to save all the Jews in Israel, right? You know, just shut up for a while, you know?
Right, but, you know, he's kind of doing the same thing like your buddy down there, Matt Gaetz, you know, the Florida congressman there?
He's not my buddy, but yeah, he is down here.
Well, I don't mean to be sarcastic about that.
I know that, I'm kidding.
But he screwed up too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, these Republicans have no idea what they're doing. I mean, they're totally throwing everything to the Democrats. And Donald Trump keeps doing what he's doing. He's going to keep losing support. I mean, Israel is our biggest ally in the Middle East. Why would you talk like that, you know?
Look
what Eisenhower did to General Patton back in World War II. Patton kept going, doing crazy things too, you know, saying crazy things. I mean, he was a great tactician as an army general, but boy, he could make enemies out there too.
Yeah, well, it was Truman that he was making enemies with.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, getting back to the speakership situation and Matt Gaetz and everything, you're right about that. And now we're sitting here, we can't seem to get anybody to get enough votes.
No, I mean, did he think by getting... talking to the Democrats that they weren't going to help him throw out McCarthy? I mean, you got to be a fool to know that.
Yeah, it's like a dog chasing a car. If he ever catches the car, what's he going to do with it? So they get rid of Kevin McCarthy. Now what are they going to do?
But they can't even get together to pick a House Speaker now.
Yeah, it makes them look bad.
I mean, and how does that look to the public who voted the Republicans in?
I know.
The general public's got to say, what did we do here? We got to go back to what we had. At least we didn't have the turmoil that we got now.
Yep.
You know? I mean, you're just throwing this country back to the Democrats.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Democrats are coming along and saying, hey, you know what, why don't you, we'll cut a deal with you. What is this story here? Some moderate Republicans are apparently in talks to come up with a bipartisan solution to naming a speaker. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, he was on Meet the Press yesterday. He says, there are informal conversations that have been underway. When we get back to Washington, it's important to begin to formalize these discussions. Well, the last guy I want to see is the Speaker of the House, is Hakeem Jeffries. First of all, you ever watch that guy talk? He drives me nuts. He stands there talking, and he's got this thing with his hands that he's got running his hands all over the place. It just doesn't, he seems uncoordinated when he's talking, and he's always saying something bad about the so-called MAGA Republicans.
Right.
He sounds like a robot. Boy, I don't want him anywhere near the speakership.
Well, that is typical of the Democrats. They're going to knock down the MAGA Republicans. It's a cult, you know, the whole nine yards, just like Hillary Clinton did. You know, I mean, I just don't get these Republicans. They did the same thing to Richard Nixon when, you know, it wasn't his fault. He didn't break into that Watergate complex.
Right.
He didn't tell them to go break in, and yet the Republicans left him hanging, right? They threw Nixon under the bus, and the Republicans did the same thing when they had the White House, they had the Senate, and they had the House of Representatives. They had all three branches of government, and they just gave it to the Democrats.
You know, right?
They're not sticking together.
You got to give Nancy Pelosi credit. She kept all of the Democrats together pretty much during her term as the Speaker. You didn't see people go off the reservation when it came to the Democrats. And even now, they're voting totally as a block. They went along with Matt Gaetz. Every one of the Democrats voted against McCarthy.
Well, did you think, you had to think that they were not going to. They wanted turmoil in
the Republicans. I guess that's right.
The Republicans are falling right into the Democrats' hands again. I just don't get these people. I mean, you got Mitt Romney that was going against Trump at the time. You may not have liked him because whatever the case may be, but yet you still had control of the country. but yet you tossed it out of the way.
Yeah.
These people don't have, you know, these politicians are the ones that are screwing up this country really, really bad. You know, and they had better stick, this country had better stick with Israel, because without Israel out there in the Middle East, this is probably the beginning of World War III right now.
I'm worried about it. We got the we're as close to a problem like that as we've ever been. Iran, if it doesn't have a nuclear weapon, it's very close. I think Israel's going to go after Iran after things settle down in Israel itself and in Gaza, because they don't want they certainly believe Iran is behind all of this.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I think they're going to go after them. I think they're going to strike.
And then what's with our colleges and our people in this country protesting? I mean, Israel was attacked. No matter what they think, right now, Israel is a separate country. It was invaded, you know?
Yeah.
And the American people, the colleges, not the majority of the American people, but these liberal colleges, Harvard, of all places, Harvard University, come on. I mean, I don't understand these people.
Well, there has been, as you know, over the years, there's always been a percentage of people in this country that have thought that the Palestinians got a raw deal. You know, because you go back to 1948.
Right.
And how the partition, right, worked. And a lot of Palestinians, you know, let's face it, it's like what we did to the Indians at one point, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So no, a lot of people have never gotten over that. And it's true that the Palestinians have suffered, but there's always been that hatred of Jewish people.
But you know, the thing is, this is what I don't understand. Going back to the biblical times, Abraham is the father of the Muslims, right? Muslims? Nation?
I'm not sure what. What was the other family that went Jewish?
Well,
Abraham was the father of both.
Abraham is the father of both.
That's right.
Ishmael, who was a son of Abraham, right?
Okay.
And the angel, I guess, of God told them to take off because Abraham's wife was jealous of, you know, the concubine that Abraham had, and, you know, because he couldn't have a son, you know, and all that stuff. And then all this stuff happened where Abraham was able to have a son, you know, the whole nine yards. So, technically speaking, they're brothers and sisters.
Of course.
And they're fighting amongst each other. That's what I don't get.
Well, of course, that's it. It's like a family squabble. They're all Semitic,
right? They're all of the same origin, and they're fighting amongst each other. That's, you know, these people better get their act together, because, you know, God can't be too happy with them.
No,
I mean, let's face it. I mean, this is how it all started way back then. And it continues today.
Let me ask you this about trying to get some of those Americans, if we have any that are still hostages. First of all, we don't know how many of them are hostages, although 13 are still missing.
Probably more than that.
And of the 13 that they're talking about that are missing, I'm sure some of them probably already have been killed. But we've had 30 Americans that are known dead. What would you do if you were the president? I mean, what should we do? Should we just sit back and hope that the Mossad and Israel will handle things?
Well,
should we do it? Should we filter in some of our own troops and drop them off there? What, you know?
If I was the president, okay? You know that Hamas, they're not stupid. They know that there was Americans there, and they went indiscriminately shooting, correct? They killed 30 Americans. To me, that's an act of war. You've taken hostages of our people, all right? You have declared war against the United States. I would send in troops. I would send in SEAL Team 6, SEAL Team 7, 8, 9, and 10, and go get our people out there. And I don't think Netanyahu would go against it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm saying...
Problem is, we don't even know where they are.
We don't, but the SEAL team, they're pretty sharp. Our intelligence kind of lost it a little bit, but they're still pretty sharp. I'm sure they're going to be able to find something. They'll be able to know what's going on. If not, they'll start cracking a lot of codes and a lot of stuff going in. But I would send in our SEAL team. I'd send in the Special Forces.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, those are American citizens. His job is to protect the American citizens above and abroad, right?
I'm sure you would feel like I do. Iran doesn't get any of that $6 billion.
Absolutely not. And if Iran does go in there, now you're talking, this is going to be World War III.
Well, this is something we have to avoid.
Well, you know, sometimes you can avoid it, sometimes you can't. Look what happened in World War II. England, you know, had to back up France. I mean, France, when Hitler invaded France and he invaded Poland, that was the beginning of the end. Somebody had to do something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I
you
know.
Just can't let it happen.
No.
Because you let these people get away with it, and they're going to just continue. You have to stand up to them. Yes, there's going to be lives lost. But what is the price of freedom? There is no price.
Right.
We have to take this country back. We have to take this world back. You got maniacs running again.
I think we're paying for the weakness that the Biden administration is showing the world right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're showing that we're very, very woke, you know? Come on. If America is strong, the world stays strong.
Yeah.
If America is weak, this is what happens.
Right.
We have to take a stand. You just can't let this barbarism go on. You know, the butchering of people. Look what Hitler did to the people in Europe, to the Jewish people in Europe. Not just the Jewish people, other nationalities too. I mean, he was a nutcase, and yet the followers that he had did the same thing. You know, they went along with him, and somebody has to stand up to these people. And I think the only country in the world that can stand up to these people is us. You got two fronts going right now. You got a war in Europe going with Ukraine. Nobody has stood up. The European nations have not stood up to Putin.
Yeah.
Right? All of Europe. Look what's happening there. People are being killed, murdered, everything.
Well, everybody looks to the United States and...
Well, the United States isn't doing anything because
they're not
very
right
weak.
Now. That's right.
We're very weak. We don't have leadership. I mean,
we certainly don't.
Between the Democrats and the Republicans, we have no leadership. Think of it, the void that we have.
I know.
In this country. Between the two parties, you can't get a leader to take the reins of this country anymore? Unbelievable. Yeah. What's happened?
Yeah, it's very, very depressing right now. No question.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
It is. It's scary.
Very, very sad. I mean, I hate to be a pessimist, but this is what we have. Something has got to happen. I mean, you can't have these wars going on because what's going to happen, somebody's going to get a hold of a nuclear weapon or a dirty bomb or whatever.
No, it looks like it.
They're going to do
no
something.
No question about it. All right, my friend. It's always good to talk with you. I'm sorry that it's such a depressing...
Sorry if I sound like that.
No, it's been it's a tough time. There's no question about it.
I don't think I'm the only person that feels this
way.
Oh,
no. God, no. All right, my friend. Well, you have a good one, and hopefully we'll just have to hope that things turn out the way they should. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angelo.
You're quite welcome.
All right. Our eye in the northern sky. He's feeling a little pessimistic about things right now. I can't blame him. All right, let's take our final break. I promise you we will talk about that Christian university that feels it's getting, I don't know, stomped on by the Department of Education.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works. And by the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And when you can listen to us, we appreciate it. If you can't listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. So all you've got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got the shows in chronological order with the most recent show at the very top. You'll see who the guest is and the topic we're going to talk about with the guest, and you'll see the top 10. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. So is somebody at the Department of Education trying to sabotage a conservative Christian college in Virginia? Liberty University firing back at the education department, saying that an official there leaked a report that alleges the university covered up a series of sexual assault incidents, and that the school generally underreported crimes on campus to preserve its reputation. Now, the Washington Post published an article earlier this month on an investigator's report on the school's compliance with something called the Clery Act, saying that it showed the school routinely failed to keep its campus safe and underreported crime. But officials at the university deny the claims that are laid out in the education department's findings, and they worry that the leak to Washington Post will impact negotiations with the education department, and they feel somebody's just trying to, you know, because it's a Christian conservative university, they're trying to hurt them. So I don't know where this will go, but Jerry Falwell founded the university, and it's known for its conservative honor code that governs personal behavior and everything else. So we will see where that goes. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, our beloved Tampa Buccaneers, I think they lost in their football game over the weekend. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, lack of offense. 20-6 they lost to the Lions.
To the Detroit. Yeah, Detroit's a good team, isn't it?
Yeah, they are. Actually, you got to remember, opening day, Detroit beat Kansas City.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, they're legit. There was a lot of big upsets yesterday in the NFL.
Was there?
Yeah, San Francisco got knocked off.
Okay.
They were undefeated. They got beat by the Browns.
Oh.
With a backup quarterback. And the Eagles, the Jets, beat the Eagles.
Without Aaron Rodgers.
And knocked them off from being undefeated.
Wow.
So there was a lot of upsets.
Yeah. Lost.
And your Bears lost again.
I know.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just waiting for them to fire the coach.
I think they've been officially eliminated from the playoffs.
They were officially eliminated when the season began.
Yeah.
Everything's going wrong. And I think their quarterback also got a hand in here. Yeah. So nothing is going right there. What about hockey? Anything? Are the Lightning, I think they lost.
They lost
to Ottawa.
Then they lost Saturday night, too.
Yeah, so they have to get back on the schedule there a little bit, right?
Not a good sports weekend.
No, not for us around here.
Well, the good thing is the Rays didn't lose.
I'm sorry?
The Rays didn't lose.
No, they didn't.
No.
What do we have, about four teams left that are playing in baseball?
Yeah, I quit watching. I think it's Texas and Houston right
Texas
now.
Texas and Houston on the one, yeah. Okay, it's time for our top 10. These are the top 10 cities for people that have disabilities. Something called the Valuable 500, which is a business coalition, released a list of the top 10 most accessible cities in the world. The report cites a survey that was conducted among 3,500 people with disabilities. They rated the cities based on transport links, proximity of accommodations to attractions, their shops, their restaurants, and the availability of information about accessibility. All right, so here we go. Number 10. Sydney, Australia. Sydney scores high on the provision of information about accessibility. It is home to the iconic Opera House and Harbour Bridge. The vast majority of Sydney's attractions are wheelchair accessible. Number 9. London. More than half, 57% of survey respondents chose London because of its accessible transport links. Number 8, Paris. In the lead up to the 2024 Olympics that Paris is going to hold and the Paralympic Games, Paris is creating 15 accessible pilot districts around the Olympic and Paralympic sites. Number 7, Amsterdam. Amsterdam's advantage over other cities is its network of 400 kilometers of bike lanes. Wow. Number six, I misread. Orlando. Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. According to the report, all theme parks in Orlando provide not just physical accommodations, but also measures for them to avoid all those long queues. Mm. Yeah, standing in line. Number 5.
They pay for it.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Number 5 is the Big Apple, New York. New York scored highest in providing adequate information, allowing individuals with disabilities to, quote, plan their trip and avoid disappointment. Okay, number 4, Las Vegas. The sheer number of accessible hotel rooms in Las Vegas makes the city a standout choice for travel. Number 3, Tokyo. While 74% of respondents say Tokyo was chosen for its accessible transport, its tactile ground surface indicators, which were invented, by the way, in Japan. Such indicators help warn the visually impaired pedestrians of hazards when they're traveling. Number 2, Shanghai. The survey found 39% of respondents who chose Shanghai did so because of its accessible public transport. All right, Ed, you want to try and take a guess?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. That's okay. I understand. It's Singapore. Singapore's aging population is the main impetus for its accessibility. Over 95% of pedestrian walkways, taxi stands, and bus shelters in Singapore are also accessible to wheelchair users and seniors and other individuals with disabilities. So there you go. All right. Thank you so much. Be safe. And remember, freedom works.
Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.